do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Just one off the table. The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on the Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening and welcome to the Gathering Radio Show here on the ParaX Network. We are very excited to be back this evening. And I say we, but technically, we don't have Stephanie here. Not sure if she's able to get in or not. But we are definitely excited to be here tonight after we were calling it a wild and woolly October. Steph and I have had some pretty crazy adventures and just all sorts of Halloween fun. And so we're kind of excited to ease back into what I hope to be a normal rest of the fall. But anyway, I'm not sure. We'll see if Stephanie can get in here into the chat room or to the show tonight. But we do have a group of guests here with us tonight. We have the guys from Cryptovania TV. And actually, we've had Tommy on before, but now we have Tommy, Jason, and Nick with us tonight. So welcome to all of you here on the Gathering Radio Show.
Great to be back.
Thanks.
Good. Yeah, good. And I see all of your smiling faces, and it's great to have you here. And I'm excited just to hear what all you have been working on. It seems like you guys have been busy. We're both doing, between Stephanie and I and our Bigfoot group, and then some of your cryptid research, it seems like we're all kind of on the same type of search, but I'm sure you guys have all sorts of fun adventures to talk about. So that's why you guys are on, is to just let us know what you've been working on and what's coming up. So where do we start? What have you guys, first of all, been working on recently? Anything you can talk about or would like to talk about?
Well, we just released our Coshocton County episode of Cryptovania, which would be episode 2 of season 2. That just came out, and that was a very good time and a very eventful get together with us, where we had the crew come out from County, Ohio, and they came out squatching with us for a couple nights, and we put together an episode, and we're really excited about that, and we feel like we've got something good going on there.
Awesome. So you were out in Ohio. Was this the first time you've been to this location? You said you were out for a couple of nights in a row.
Actually, no. They came here.
Me and Tommy had gone over to Coshocton before, about 3 months ago, when I was with Jay and, well, just Jay, but yeah, they came over to Cryptovania this time.
Cool. Very cool. So what did you find? You were out how many nights then?
We were out 2 nights with them, and we ended up with some pretty good footage. The one night we've dubbed the Lamy Ridge Peaker, and it's a night vision capture that we have that we feel has the classic Bigfoot peeking around a tree and then making an escape off to the other way. Tommy Cooper grabbed that with some night vision that night, and it was awful excited and a little shaky, and it's not exactly footage that you could convict somebody of murder on, but there's something there that peeks around a tree and then takes off.
Awesome.
And that was night 2 of the adventure.
That's awesome. And so this is in the video that you guys have that's posted. Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes, it is.
We'll have to get that link out so everybody has a chance to check it out.
Can you hear me?
Yay!
Oh, come on.
You know, I posted everything before the show, and then I accidentally clicked the off Skype, and then it wanted to update. So, see, then when it updated, then I needed to restart my computer, and I didn't realize. Sorry, guys. You know, oh, my God, whatever. I hate Skype.
You made it. That's what matters.
I made it, and it's only 8. I was on at 8:03 or 8:04. You guys were talking, so it's all good. So, everyone, I'm here.
Awesome.
Leave it to Steffi to do this. You know, it is what it is. So, how are you guys tonight?
Good.
Very good.
Good. We're a little chilly up here in Minnesota. It's like in the 20s.
Ain't that cold for us yet, but won't be long.
Oh, it's going to be brutal up north this weekend. Can I just say that? Because it's you know, I'm going to 250 miles north of here, so it'll be brutal. But we'll make it work. We have lots of layers to put on.
Where are you guys going?
We are going. Three of us are going to be together up near Effie, Minnesota, which is considered the edge of the wilderness. And lots of Bigfoot sightings up there. One of our members, Karen, actually has a place up there. So we always stay with her. That's Squatcher's headquarters up in the Northland. And we have, so we're going to go out, we're going to do some squatching. And then we have a big Squatch chat up in Togol, Minnesota on Saturday. And so we're thinking a lot of the deer hunters, because this is opening weekend for deer hunting, firearm season. I know, we're crazy to be out in the woods at all. But we're going to be up there. We got to get out there. But we're hoping that we get lots of stories in at the Squatch chat from the hunters. So I think it'll be a fun time for sure. So that's what we're doing. That's what half of the Squatchers team is doing this weekend. It'll be really fun, but very cold. Like I said, long johns for sure.
Have you been up there before on expeditions at that cabin?
Yeah, well, Karen lives up there, so she's got a place, and I think about 40 acres. And I always threaten her that I'm going to build my little log cabin just behind her house. And she always says, do it. So you just never know. Someday, I just may be up there.
But has it been featured in any of your videos?
No. It has not, but you know what? We will get some video footage this weekend for sure. Because, you know, one of the places we're going to go right away is in the Chippewa Forest. It's kind of in the Chippewa Big Fort National Forest, and it's called the Lost 40. And it's a tract of land. I don't know how many acres it is. You would think it was 40, but it's really not. And it was never mapped out correctly. And so the trees on this land have never been harvested or cut down. So these big white oaks or these big red pines and white pines are like 3 centuries old up there. So it'll be really fun to see. And there's some BFR reports of Bigfoot in this area too. So not only, Heidi, do I get to hug the trees, but maybe we'll get to see Bigfoot. I'm hoping. So we're going to do that right on Friday. So we'll take video of that because that'll be really fun to see those big, they say the trunks on these trees are ginormous. Well, you can imagine 300 and some years old, you know. So I'm excited to see that, actually. So anyway,
we have a similar section of woods pretty close by here called Heart's Content that's got some old growth forest in it that has managed to not been harvested, and it's about 45 minutes to an hour away from us here at the heart of Cryptovania.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it on that.
Yeah.
I don't have another story for that.
Oh. Well, I think it'll be fun. Plus, we're following up on an eyewitness report that we had taken last time I was up there. We're going to go up a ways up. It's about 40 miles, I think, from Karin's up in up north of her. So we're actually going to be even further. We're going to be close to the border. The border is like within 70 miles from Karin's place. So it'll be a fun weekend. Cold, but fun. But we like, you know, we would rather squatch now because there's the bugs in Minnesota are horrendous in the summertime. Oh, yeah. So there's no bugs now.
Mm-hmm. But it does make does definitely make it a lot better in the wintertime. There's not the ticks and everything you got to worry about.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. So what have you guys been up to?
Oh, just been, you know, like we've been doing our show. Like you said, we just had to Shelton County up here. And, you know, we've been getting out into the woods as much as we can. It's kind of the busy time of the year for us. So our time's getting a little limited. But we still try to get out on Sundays and stuff like that whenever we get a chance. We got a lot of woods, so it doesn't really take too long to get out in the woods up here. So that's kind of nice.
That's good.
We just released about 3 weeks ago our Tony Merkle episode, the first episode of season two of Cryptovania, and we were able to take Tony out in the woods around here. Tony and his brother Jack, actually, and that was a really good time, and we're really happy with that episode with Tony Merkle of the Confessionals, mm-hmm. and we feel like we were able to capture in the interview a lot of Tony Merkle himself and the dedication to what he's doing to put together the Confessionals and his hopes for it and some of his deeper beliefs. And we really feel like we were able to launch season two with a fantastic episode in the Tony Merkle episode. And that just came out about 3 weeks ago.
Awesome. And
I have to add to that, I have never met two finer human beings in my life than Tony and Jack Merkle. Those are two great guys. That was a wonderful weekend with those guys.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All is fun. Now, I haven't seen that. Tommy, you sent me a video last weekend of you and someone out in the woods, which was really good. I thought it's close to you because you said you go there quite frequently. And that was, you know, what you said about swamps, I thought was fantastic. Can you kind of repeat that, what you said? Because I was like, sure. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
That was Edward Monge and Joy Monge of Bigfoot Quest. It's a YouTube channel. And we were fortunate enough to get an episode with them. And they came here and we filmed right in the heart of where we do a lot of our research at. And we went to the swamp and I had said that, so it's a shame that people have the view of wetlands that they have, that they look at it and they think, you know, look at that waste or look at all that dead area. And I was saying quite the contrary, look at all that life, because that's kind of where it all begins at. That's kind of where it all incubates at. And what I had said to Edward was, you know, everything dies and everything falls and it hits the ground and then it goes downhill and everything goes downhill until it hits the bottom. The swamps are indeed the bottom. So all that life force kind of congregates into that area and starts the whole cycle all over again. And it was pretty entertaining because we ended up doing some vocalizations and I was helping Edward do some, and we got a response off of one of his vocalizations, and his wife was she was pretty excited when that happened. She did not expect that to happen, and it was a lot of fun. I really had a great time with those guys. Super great, nice people.
It looked like fun. And yeah, no, what you said about swamps, I thought was fantastic because we spend an awful lot of time in the wetland areas and the swamps. And we're always talking about trekking that over that marshland. That's, I don't know, like a mile, I think, you know, and there's a natural land bridge, but this year it's been covered with water. So we've been in water halfway up to our knees. So, but that's where squatches are, right?
Yeah. I mean, show me any other terrain that has that much life in a cubic yard or mile or what. I mean, it's just everything lives in the swamp. And it kind of shocks me when people think that swamps are wasted ground or, yeah, I mean, they do so many fantastic things for the environment too, but there's so much life in the swamp. It's, I think anyone that doesn't center their research in swampy areas are making a mistake. They're giving up on an easy area, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I agree. And Heidi, even way up in the Chippewa National Forest, in those areas that we've targeted and where there's been the most activity, there's a lot of swamps around there, which is why we don't go there in the middle of summer, because the bugs are just too much.
Yeah.
But the bugs might just for that reason too, right?
Do you think Squatch has issues with bugs?
No. I don't think so. No.
Here's my Cooper conjecture on this. I think that Squatch likes the hemlock and pine forests more than the hardwood forests. And I think the needles all over the place, I think that those needles get on them, and much in the same way like a cedar closet works to keep insects off of clothing, which is why people had cedar closets. I think that's why the squatches like the hemlock and pine forest. I think there's something about the pH of the needles that helps keep the ticks and those kinds of things away from them.
Wow, interesting.
That is a really, you know, because a lot of times up in northern Minnesota, there's a lot of what they call cedar swamps. So see, it's a swamp and cedar trees. So
Wow,
I never thought about that. That is really good. I get it. I totally get it. Wow. Phenomenal.
A lot of time.
So tell us about, I know we got into talking about Sasquatch right away, but so tell us about Cryptovania TV and how this all started and when this all started, because we just became acquainted with you guys last spring when Jason actually sent us an email and said, hey, we want to feature you on Cryptovania, and we were thrilled. But how did it all get started?
Jason?
You'll listen to Jason.
All right. But it got started, really, it was an idea of Tommy's and Nick's, that they had wanted to do a podcast before, and we kind of morphed that into, well, we decided we want to have a whole channel dedicated to cryptids and Bigfoot in particular, and then over time we've included basically outdoor adventure and country living, and My area, I'm the curator of what we call the peer generated archives, which the Squatchers is a part of now. And what this is the various Bigfoot groups throughout the world. We seek to reach out and befriend, and we want to have a sampling at least of all of these research groups that we've befriended, including Squatchers, so that our viewers can look at it as like a library. And we don't want to be the place to go to find Squatchers stuff, but we want to be the place to go when you're looking for things. Oh, look at the Squatchers group. I'm going to go find more on their website. And that's what we've done with you guys. And then, 12 or 13 other Bigfoot individuals and groups. And what we try to offer is a sampling of what's out there in cryptid research. We've got some Sasquatch Chronicles from Wes Germer. We've got some Vic Cundiff on there, and Greg Yost, and Squatchers. And we're very proud of those archives. And we're trying to bring to the Bigfoot encrypted world a sense of sharing and mutual respect, and rather than trying to hoard information, we're trying to get it all out there, and we're basically celebrating all of these groups that are out there researching and putting together meaningful research in a entertaining way also. The peer-generated archives to us are real kind of center to a big part of Cryptovania. And then we have all our original stuff, but that's a big part of it.
We started out with some wood walks of me and Tommy just out walking around and filming what we can. I mean, the first ones were even a lot of just still frames put together, and just kind of started building from there. We got who was one of our first guys,
Danny Bedlam.
Yeah, like Danny, we started getting all of his stuff. We put together videos of him, and just it's really amazing how quickly everything's kind of building. Like all these people that are that we're now all friends with. And, we have like this working relationship almost with that. We're good to sharing all of our research and stuff together with. It's really kind of a cool thing.
Well, that's how it should be.
Yeah,
and if I can give away the key to all this, this is kind of the worst kept secret about all this. If there's one thing in the world that's more interesting than Sasquatch, it is people like ourselves, all of us included, who dedicate their lives to searching for a mythical creature, because it really takes a certain kind of chutzpah and a certain kind of person to go and do this. And the people like you guys and like everyone else that's a part of Cryptovania are all genuinely interesting characters, and they're all positive people. And I say character in the best kind of way, but I mean, it's good stuff. It's entertaining. Yeah. It's people that are doing things for the right reasons. And we're proud to be friends with everyone that's on Cryptovania Roku Television.
It's kind of like growing up as a baseball fan, and suddenly you get to exchange phone messages with Reggie Jackson. And that's the way it is for us with all of you that have shared in the Cryptovania experience.
Well, it's been our pleasure, honestly, and it's been so much fun to be a part of all this. And you know, Tommy and I kind of message each other quite often, and so it's funny. And I know he's always saying, come on, Cryptovania, the Facebook, when you're out there, and do some live Facebook. You know, Facebook now, you have to have it portrait, the camera, so you can't really get in everything you want to look at. I'm not crazy about it, can I just say?
I can understand. There's plenty to not like about every platform.
But it's so fun, and we sure have a good time with it. And, you know, I know I've told Tommy this, but Jason and Nick, you know, we've had reports that Cryptovania is on Xfinity, which is Comcast up here in the city.
I kind of just blew my mind. That was wild to me. Like, that was like...
right? Because I got this phone call. Yeah.
If I may, I'd like to publicly put out a public service announcement. Anyone that wants to steal Cryptovania and put it anywhere, please do. You have our full blessing. Put it anywhere. Say it loud, say it proud.
Steal my show.
Yeah. Oh, we love it. So yeah, because I had a phone call from Dave, actually, who's in our chat room, and he said, Steph, do you recognize that voice in the background? And, you know, I couldn't really hear, and I said, no. And he said, it's you. And I said, what? He said, you're on Comcast, you know, the girls, you're out in the woods. And I'm like, what? You know, and he said, yeah, Cryptovania TV, I found it, you know. And I'm like, what is going on? That is awesome. So how fun is that?
Yeah. I'm still not exactly sure how that electronic trail went, but we were very thrilled to hear about it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's fun. It's all good. It's all really fun.
Yes.
Well, goodness. Okay, so there's a lot of questions going on.
We have a lot of questions in the chat
room.
Yeah, I think
we need to get going.
So let's take one of them before we go to our commercial break. The first one that we had was from Dave, and he's asking, how did you guys get hooked into Matty G TV?
That is... One day we were all at work, because all of us guys worked together at the garage, and it's kind of a country garage. And we're all, and I was talking to Jason one day, and there was a girl that was in the, she had come, and I said, I don't know who this woman is, but she's not looking for tires. I could tell. I introduced myself, and she was looking for me, and she said, you know, we'd like to shoot a scene for a movie here. And she's like, is there any way that you would rent us a building or let us use a building? And I said, absolutely, I would. And she was just blown away. I didn't know her. She didn't know me. Well, that was Maddie of Maddie G. And as it turned out, I ended up going to work for them, and I became a location scout for them. And when we all ended up having a really good relationship, close relationship with everyone in the Maddie G TV organization that endures to this day. And they've been a great inspiration and a great help for what we do. And it was really a friend of a friend. We had a mutual friend, and they shot a scene for their series venture here, and they ended up shooting almost two complete seasons of it at our garage and around our garage and in the woods around our garage. And yeah, it was really a great experience. Talk about luck.
I got blown up in a camper, too, so that's awesome.
Yeah. and Tommy got to walk down a red carpet during a premiere up in Erie, too, for when they premiered the film.
And yeah, that was a really
that was kind of
cool. Yeah.
I got to walk the starlet down the red carpet. If you want to know what the best I can look is, it was that night. That's the best I can look.
Awesome. I love it. How fun is that?
Fun.
Oh God! Yeah, very cool. And
if you ever watch the series Venture on Matty G, it's almost entirely shot at our garage, and you'll see Nick is in it. I am in it. You know, I get killed with a crowbar and all this kind of stuff, and there's a character in it. They're small parts, but that's okay. That's okay. It was awesome. Great experience. It really opened our eyes to the world of Roku and what a person could do, even though they're off the beaten path on a country road in backwoods Cryptovania.
Mm-hmm. I awesome. Love it. That's so fun, you guys. Really. Yeah. It's amazing how things happen, isn't it? People yeah. don't just cross our paths for no reason. I think there's always a reason when we meet people mm-hmm. and we become friends with them and all this kind of stuff happens. You know, it's like kismet, you know?
Yeah.
Very cool. Heidi, should we go to commercial break? I know it's a couple of minutes early, but then we have even more time yeah. the second half to go through these questions. And
because they're still piling up, so we should get okay. to it.
All right, so this is the Gathering Radio Show, and we will be back in 2 minutes on the Para-X Radio Network.
Demons, vampires, werewolves, skinwalkers, all of this and more, Sunday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss Radio Show. Get lost with us.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Oh! Hey, Heidi. What are you listening to? Heidi! Oh, hey, Steph.
Hey!
What has your attention? Oh, I'm listening to Para-X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh! Well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling Radio Show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on Para-X.
You haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night?
Do you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers?
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to the professionals on What Are You Afraid Of? Horror Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on Para-X Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on Para-X?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky needs with true ghost stories, interviews, indie music, and new horror fiction. We are ready to scare you.
Para-X.
Oh, how many seconds?
Like 10.
Guess we better be quiet.
Welcome back
to The Gathering. It's Stephanie.
Oh, that's why we shouldn't be talking, I guess. Anyway. Yeah. So we missed our cue, but here we are. We're back with the Cryptovania TV guys, and we have loads of questions in the chat room here.
Whoa.
So we're going to get to the next question here. Have
Have you ever heard, this is Paranormal Writer, have you ever heard of anybody analyzing the teepee structures associated with Bigfoot in terms of some kind of stellar map or star map?
I have not. Mm-hmm. The closest I've come to that is Greg Yost has some opinions on tree structures that are maybe in that direction. I personally think that there may be a correlation with sacred geometry, but it's beyond me. I don't have the mental capacity to do it, and I haven't heard of anyone that has.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about that's interesting.
About the closest I get is this one section of woods that me and my brother Thomas have been going to quite a bit. We're finding all these like weird structures that are up in the trees. They're not really the teepee structure, but they're kind of like a weird triangle. And it's really odd how similar like all these different ones are in this whole area. But like in all of them, there's one area, there's one point of it that really crosses like big time. Like, and that's always facing north, we found. And it's really kind of weird. We've only ever found it in this one area. But yeah, I never really thought about the stellar mapping or anything like that. But.
Mm. Well, and it's an interesting idea, too, because if you think of, I'm just putting a few pieces together and they may not make any sense, but the association that some people, not everybody, has between Bigfoot and UFOs and UFO aircraft and alien visitors, and then you think of the associations that have already been put together between some of our ancient civilizations and UFOs and how they've connected ancient civilization, you know, maps with structures on our planet that have been built with star structures.
I'm a firm believer in that myself. I think that there is a connection. And just like with the elongated skull people of down in Paracas, Peru, the star children. I think that there is some kind of connection between Bigfoot and UFOs and ancient civilizations myself. I do. I think that's a definite connection.
Yeah, it would be interesting, even, you know, Steph, as we go out and we find these different stick structures, to map them out and see if we could put anything together, maybe get a diagram of where the star system is currently in our location and, see if we can map something out. I mean, again, I don't know if I would be able to figure that out, but I suppose it'd be worth a shot.
Yeah,
so
I'm not sure either. But interesting idea. You know, we've always kind of thought that these stick structures were some kind of a locational marker for them, or a portal of some kind.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting is because they are so teepee-ish, you know, the natives, the indigenous peoples here, you know, the First Nations people, the Ojibwa, for example, one of their seven teachings is that Bigfoot is one of them, and he's the truth. You know, he's the truth, and he represents truth. And I asked one of the elders in the Canadian Ojibwa tribe if they thought that they learned how to make teepees from Bigfoot, because Bigfoot is a teacher to them. And he said he never thought about it, but wow, what a good idea, you know. And then they just put the, you know, made it some kind of a, you know, structure to live in. Anyway, just off the beaten path. Sorry, don't know what made me think of that, but
yeah,
you know, it's kind of a cool idea. You know, we have so many reservations here in Minnesota, and it seems like whenever we're outside or when we're up north, we're always on a reservation of some kind, and so we interact a lot with the First Nations people, and so we hear these stories time and time again. So. It's very cool to us to listen to them, because I think they know a lot more than the little bit that they tell us.
Now, Cryptovania is on old Seneca land. This is the old Seneca area, but we also have around here, we have a lot of the mounds, including a mound that's only about a half mile from where we're at right now. There's a mound, a giant mound here. And they're actually spaced out, and you kind of wonder about the connections with those mounds and maybe Nephilim or it seems like if you look at a map, they kind of trail down into Central America, where these trading outposts for the people of Peru, it's wild stuff that's fun and interesting to look into.
The one thing that we can probably all agree on, even though there's probably a lot of diverse opinions here, is that history is a lie. In my opinion, maybe, but what we're being told about so many things in history are just utter nonsense. Anyone that denies that giants existed in North America is delusional, in my opinion. The proof is everywhere. And I mean, it's more than just here, too. It's everywhere. It's South America, Central America. But, you know, why was this never talked about in high school? You know, whose narrative are we being sold?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. And, you know, giants up on the borderland up in Minnesota, there's a place called the Giant Mound. It's called the Grand Mound. And they say that they were giants that are buried there. And it's a ginormous, there's a, used to be like a historical center there. It's closed now, but I've been there. And the mounds are ridiculously huge. And there's more than one. And there's a whole center that goes with it. But it's amazing stuff.
They want to call them Indian mounds? Indians didn't even barely use, they didn't even have buckets. How could Indians, why and how would Indians have excavated that amount of dirt? That's not how they lived. That's not what they were into. They didn't even have the tools for it. Not that they didn't have the ability, but that's just, that wasn't their culture to mark the land. They existed with the land. The giants, it's the only logical explanation, but, you know, much like if you say there was two or three shooters involved in the Kennedy assassination, people snicker. It's conditioning. Anybody that has, no one believes that Oswald acted alone, but yet if you say something about the grassy knoll, oh boy, here we go. And it's the same thing if you start talking about giants, oh boy, here we go. But explain to me what Native Americans, First Nations people, whatever, they weren't building mounds. They weren't doing stuff like that. That's not how they lived. That's not how they existed.
Yeah, and I don't know the story. I know Dave is on in the chat room. If he wants to say something in the chat about that, because I do know we do have Indian mounds right over here in Mounds Park, actually in St. Paul, that are very sacred. So if you want to chime in, Dave, because I don't know the history about all that, so that would be awesome. But, interesting stuff for sure. So we have other questions. So one of them, Paranormal Writer again, says, I'm hoping to do a lot of investigation around Minnesota next year, and I believe that these structures seem like star maps. We already talked about that. Okay, so Sherry wants to know, can you lure in Bigfoot with food? Have you guys ever tried that?
I don't know if you could necessarily like lure them in to where you could see them, but you could definitely leave food out. You come in and take it. I mean, I've never baited them in so I could see them, but you set out stuff and next day it's gone and you don't see the raccoon tracks and you don't see the plot. Like, you set it up in like a muddy area so you can try to figure out like what's coming in and get it. You're not seeing any tracks or anything else, but yet your food's gone. I mean, as far as luring him in the sea, I don't know if you'd be able to do that. Like,
so we do have a friend named Donald Slovey that's got a fantastic cast collection, and one of his techniques is he has a little like a clay wet area that he uses food to try and lure Bigfoot, and so he can have them go through this soft area to get to the food. And he's reported some success of getting some, harvesting some casts by using that. He hasn't been able to lure him so he can see him by sight, but he is using food as a lure so he can get casts. And here's some luck with that.
Here's my quick food story.
Yes.
The neighbor lady passed away, dear sweet lady, lifelong friend, but she passed away. When she passed away, I began having problems with my chickens disappearing. And I come to find out that when she had extra food, she was throwing it over the bank behind her house, which was next door to my house. And I believe that she was inadvertently gifting the Squatch for many, many years And when she was no longer here, Squatch became riled up and began taking my chickens instead. And we had quite a good run of chickens disappearing here, been about 2-3 years ago.
Wow. Did you set up trail cams or anything to check out what was going on?
I did take some pictures of the footprints, and I did not do the trail cam thing. I was going to leave the audio recorder, but I never did. I did get some footprints and some things like that, and some of the kill sites were really peculiar. Like the way the bird, like the one bird was laid out, and there was no trauma to it that you could see. But it was like, if you guys do any hunting, like if you've ever seen someone breast out like a dove, like they just take their thumbs and pop the breast meat out of a dove or a turkey, you can do this with. That's how this chicken was. And the head wasn't twisted around. It wasn't beat up, this and that. And it was laid out with the wings spread wide open on its back and all that sort of thing. And it was just inside the shadow of where the outdoor light shines, too.
Wow. Huh. Interesting.
Yes. Well, and if you put a trail cam out, I think Bigfoot knows that there are cameras and they're not going to come. You know, when we were, an interesting thing is when we were in Kentucky a year or so ago, the Kentucky Bigfoot, can't remember what the name of them is, but they were talking about how they would leave trail cams out in their research area, and then they would leave out like peanut butter or something. And what they would see was they would see, like, hands. You know, they would get pictures of hands, but never the whole body. And it was gone, you know. So I think they're pretty smart. And, you know, Greg Yost will not even go out with a camera out to do his research.
Then there's also some people that I've heard, like, they'll use trail cameras to kind of direct them into an area. You know, they'll set up cameras
yeah.
to kind of get them out of this area down into an area or another place, yeah.
Yeah, good idea, you know, for sure.
That's, in my opinion, that's one of the litmus tests of when you completely dove headfirst into the deep end, is when you catch yourself in the woods smearing peanut butter on the sides of trees.
Exactly. Well, you know, you just never know.
Well, I'm not saying it doesn't work. I just, you have to look at it in the third person and think, what am I doing? What am I doing?
Well, you know what? If Bigfoot doesn't get it, the squirrels get a good exactly. food, delicious to eat, you know, and somebody else, you know, the raccoons and whatever. It's all good. Somebody gets it.
What else are you going to be doing? Watching TV, mowing your grass, go out in the woods, and spread some peanut butter on some trees?
See? I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
So, another question that we have is, I've always interpreted Bigfoot as an extra-dimensional species that can escape this planet via portals. Thoughts?
I 100% agree myself. I'm a firm believer in that. I kind of feel that if you're firmly in the flesh and blood camp, and that it's just a remnant bipedal, like gorilla type thing, I find that much harder to believe than that there's some kind of technology that we don't understand yet. And I feel like all of the things that we are starting to see in the tech world, like with quantum computers and stuff like that, that I think that we're starting to see very light glimpses into what could be some very fantastic realities. And personally, I believe that that Bigfoot is a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm not 100% on that. Like, I don't really know for sure anything. I really kind of follow the more fleshy, because that's easier for me to wrap my head around, I guess. But I mean, if I've heard enough stories, I've talked to enough people that, like, I mean, they've seen all this stuff, and I mean, who am I to deny what they've seen? But it's just, for me, everything that I've experienced, it really kind of seems like it's this worldly almost, like. You know, they might have a little bit of, like, telekinetic or something like that, but as far as being able to, like, disappear and, like transport like that, I still haven't seen anything like that that would make me believe that yet.
Mm-hmm. Tommy,
do we get a Cooper conjecture?
My opinion is that I lean I lean heavily toward Trost's opinion of things. However, we diverge, and it gets into an area that gets very close to religious beliefs and things like that. And Mama always told me not to talk religion with folks, so I really don't get into it.
You won't even give us a hint.
I lean toward the Trost philosophy. It's not an animal. I will tell you that it's not an animal. There's no way it's an animal.
So let me ask you guys this. So talking about that, if he's extraterrestrial, do you ever find stick structures that have an incredible amount of energy underneath them or near them? Can you sense energy, any of you three?
Oh my. Oh yes. Oh yes. I mean that is my thing. I love it. Like whether it's psychosomatic or whatever you call that or whatever, whether I'm making it up in my own mind, I don't know. But I'm telling you, what a rush. Oh, I love tree structures. An awesome tree structure to me is just, oh, I love it. Love it. Mm-hmm. I definitely feel energy.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, nature on its own has a lot of energy that it puts off. So, I mean, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think you can believe in that and not go down that metaphysical road. I think that...
Because I definitely think there's something to, like, the tree boughs and everything. Mm-hmm. Is that a portal? I don't know. Is that just kind of something that, like, you know, like, Greg Yost, his idea on that was it was just kind of like a cleansing, like it was... the full circle, you know, everything's a circle. And, you know, that's just kind of a nature energy that comes off of that, and it just kind of washes over, you know, and that's kind of more the way I lean with it.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. So on that note, we do have a question that Paranormal Rider is asking. Has anybody taken EMF readings around any of those or used a trifield meter or anything else? Are you in your group?
No, our stuff is conjecture and theory, that's as far as we've gotten on that.
I'm not looking. I think I speak for the entire group. We are not looking to prove anything or say, look at our findings. We enjoy doing this, and. Mm-hmm. We go out and do it to do it and experience it and see what we can learn. And we have the good fortune of spending so much time together, all of us guys, that it really doesn't matter. I mean, we like to go do our thing. And if people want to come along for the ride and they want to participate and watch and all that stuff, that's awesome. But we're not trying to convince anybody or change anybody's mind. We feel that our product is being given for people that already believe or already know. And people that are naysayers or haters or skeptics or whatever you want to call them, that's fine. That's cool. But we're not really trying to kowtow to those people. So we don't get too – we've never casted a track. I've found tracks. Nick's found tracks. We've found tracks several times. We've never casted a single one of them because it just doesn't matter. We know they're real.
Don't even think about it when we're there. Like, yeah, 2 hours later and we're out of the woods, like, should have tried to, like, you know, try to cast it or something. You know, we try to get pictures, but pictures of footprints never.
Next time. Next time.
Well, and see, I think that's, you know, that's cool too. You know, our squatcher Karen, who's actually in this chat room, just wrote a blog post for the website. And one of the things she said in there was, what are we out to prove? And she said, well, nothing really, just to ourselves, you know. And isn't that the truth?
I want to know. Yeah, I want to know.
Yeah, we all want to do something different when we meet Bigfoot. I want to look him in the eyes. Heidi wants to do something else.
What? I want to hide or whatever, right? What? Let's not leave it hanging there, Steph. You just trailed off.
I'm like, you would pick it up. Jeez.
High five him.
Well, that's too easy. I had to.
Jeez. I'm like, wait a minute.
I was waiting for you to pick it up. Well, whatever. Anyhow.
Pennsylvania celebration.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. You know, it's interesting because when we're talking about the taking the readings and the meters, and I understand totally what you guys are saying. And, you know, I'm agreeing with that. Like, am I going to run around and hope to get all this evidence to prove one way or another? I probably not. I just want to know for myself. And so I do bring out a Mel meter or a K2 meter, depending on what I have handy when I head out into the woods. And it's interesting how I'll go into these areas where the quadrants are, and I'm just wondering, like, what is it going to be like? Am I going to feel anything? I'm not saying I do feel anything right away, but you go into some of these areas, and like you said, you all of you have said, like, yeah, wow, there's some really crazy energy here, or wherever you are, and I'll have the meters out, and there's nothing coming up on the meters sometimes. It's just nothing, mm-hmm. And so you think, what kind of energy is this that I'm feeling? Because I really am trying to wrap my mind around what's going on here, and then we'll have the meter out, and we're in an area that's like, hey, I wonder if we should take a reading here. And the meters go off the charts. And you're like, well, what is causing this to happen? And I understand that there's energies coming from the earth and maybe different types of gases and plants or whatever. I don't know. But it's just interesting for me to have a meter out there, because I question a lot of what's happening. And so it's another piece to layer what's happening, to see, you know, is there something to look at here with the meter or not? Or I don't know. I just think it's kind of neat. So
if somebody put one in my hands, I would definitely take it out in the woods with me. That's for sure.
Well, and we do, you know, we're paranormal investigators. We were paranormal investigators way before we started searching for Bigfoot 4 years ago. So we have all the equipment, right? And a lot of times we bring a lot of it out with us. And then there's sometimes I go out with my knocking bat and, you know, that's pretty much it. Because, like we said, we're not really out to prove anything. We're just out there to find Bigfoot, you know, or other cryptids. And this is Cryptomania, so, you know, we should really talk about other cryptids as well, right?
Oh yeah. And that's one of the things that we really have enjoyed with our Cryptomania experiences. Almost every group that has come here, they have brought different technology that we've gotten to use. Like that weekend with the Coshocton group out in the woods with all the night vision stuff. That's a really good time, and I think it's becoming a big part. I think there's a big niche there, and I think it's kind of replacing like a big game hunting. When I was younger, it was you know, people would save up so they can buy a new Weatherby rifle or something like that. And now it's people are saving up so they can get a new FLIR night vision device. Yeah. So they can run around looking for Bigfoot. And it's a phenomenon that's a very real part of the cryptid world. There's a lot of cool toys out there. And we've enjoyed playing with them.
But you know what? So here's what I say. So when we had our biggest experience, and you know, we have no proof it was Bigfoot, but we sure think it was, and it was in the middle of the night, way out in the boonies, up way up north, we had an infrared camera, we had a thermal camera, and guess what? Nothing showed up. And it seemed like whatever it was within 6 feet from us. We could hear him, we could feel him. You know, we had rocks that were being pitched at us. We heard, you know, all of a sudden we felt like we were being surrounded. It was actually kind of terrifying because it was in the middle of the night and it was just five girls, you know. But if it would have been an animal, so here's the thing. So if it would have been an animal, if it would have been a bear, if it would have been a moose, if it would have been a cougar, that would have shown up on those cameras. So I guess what I'm saying is they're good to weed out things that it's not, whatever it is that was there that night, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, they are fun to have. And, you know, when you're in the paranormal field, you kind of have them all, right? So we're kind of spoiled because we have them all. Not that we take them out with, because we're just saying, a lot of times I go out with my bat and that's it, and my camera, you know?
Sometimes Tommy Cooper just has his table leg that he uses for what not. Yeah.
Exactly.
True story. I had told a group early on when we started this adventure, I was trying to reconnect with a guy that I knew, and it's kind of a long story, but he was trying to figure out if I was legit or not. And once he established that we were, he said, do you guys have a lot of equipment? Do you have this? Do you have that? And I said, man, you kidding me? I said, we're a bunch of hillbillies with a flashlight and a baseball bat.
I got my knife.
Yeah, well, and that's all you need is a baseball bat and a flashlight. Really, seriously. You know?
You know, in the words of Greg Yost, I'll tell you what you really need. You need heart. If you've got heart, if you've got heart, man, that's what it's all about. Yost has convinced me of that all the way, you know. The key is you're not – Squatch is not going to walk through your living room, generally speaking.
No.
You need to get to the woods.
Yeah.
And go learn something. Go experience nature. There's so much to learn. There's so much positivity. It's just good times all the way around. It's a good experience, and there's no reason to not be out there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep. And I think you have to love to be in the woods to be in this field. I'm just saying, because we love it. We love it, you know?
Yep.
I wish we could get out there more than we do. It seems like we're out there a lot, but I would like to be out there a lot more. But sometimes it's just not possible. So what about other cryptids? We have about a couple of minutes. So what other cryptids have you guys looked for?
We have a Kinzu Nessie is featured actually on Cryptovania in the Strange Kinzu section. Our first guest, Denny Vigolo, brought with him footage that looks like it may well be the Nessie rolling and putting a fin up out of the water.
And when you realize he recorded it off of the old school VHS tape recorder in 1975 or whatever, I mean, it really makes you think about how good that video actually is.
Yeah, wow, cool.
The Cub Scout pack that's local, the Corn Planter pack, has the Kinzu Nessie on their Jamboree patch every year. That's how prevalent the story goes. Apparently they had a group outing where a bunch of scouts got scared by Nessie rolling off the coast of I think it's Allegheny Lake.
I think so. Yeah,
yeah. And off from the Kinzu Dam. And so now for the last 20 years, every year at the Boy Scout Jamboree, the Corn Planter Cub Scout pack has the Kinzu Nessie on patch on their uniform. That's my favorite of the local cryptids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it.
There's so much out there, you know, like just locally, and I mean extremely locally. I've got tales of snakes with wings flying out of a creek. I mean, it sounds like it's, you know, it's like no way. But I have people, I've known these people all my life, and they tell me they saw it. They're not lying to me. They at least think they saw it, and I believe they did see it. Yeah. Black cats, dog man, giant black snakes. There's all kinds of stuff around here.
Cool.
Little people. I mean, holy cow.
Yeah. Cool. We've heard the stories too, which is fascinating. So we always keep an eye out as well. And I know last spring we were supposed to go out and look for dog man specifically because we heard an area where he was, and we got up north and then we ended up looking for Sasquatch because whatever. We're just pulled in so many different ways when we're out there that. Yeah. It's, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work. But. All right. Well, we have 1 minute. So is there anything else you guys want to talk about before we have to leave?
Thanks for letting us be on your show again. It's always a great time. You guys are a blast.
Oh, you guys thanks for being on. And thanks for having Squatchers on Cryptovania. That's awesome.
Oh, we wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, I was very proud that day when I was able to come in and say, hey guys, I got Squatchers. And,
that was a big deal. That was a big deal.
Yes. Awesome. Well, we'll do some videos. We'll send you some videos after the weekend, not Facebook ones either. So the good ones. But thank you for being on. Oh, goodness.
Yes, thank you.
Fun. Heidi, another showdown.
Another one down. And thanks to everybody that was tuning into the chat room tonight and listening from all over, wherever you're at tonight. Thank you for tuning in. If we have any troops listening to us, thank you for your service and be safe out there. And thank you to ParaX, of course, for hosting us, and Sarge, our beloved producer and patient one. Thank you for being our most awesome producer. And we're looking forward to being back next week.
Yeah.